There's a battle over books in the Davis County Public Library, and this battle has reached a boiling point. On one side of the debate, there is a group that is saying that there's a censorship regime that's bent on banning books in the young adult section of the library. There's another group saying that certain books are inappropriate, some are downright pornographic and even obscene, and these books do not belong within easy reach of minors in Davis County. In case you're wondering, Davis County is in far west Kentucky. It's Owensboro, which is the fourth largest city in the Commonwealth. I'm Richard Nelson, and thank you for joining the Commonwealth Matters. And in this edition, we're going to talk about controversial books. We're going to talk about age appropriateness for young people. And then we're going to talk about the democratic process. And I believe that if there's a silver lining in this issue in Davis County, it is that the democratic process is working as it should. And I'm going to give some pointers, some words of advice, if I could, as far as how to engage and how to engage effectively. And some might accuse me of helping the other side. So if they're tuned in, you know what? This advice, it applies across the board. And if they heed some of this advice, I'm really glad that they do. But in either case, if both sides of the political spectrum embrace pointers and advice as far as to how to engage in a better way, a more respectful way, I think we all benefit from that. But we'll talk about that, more about that just later in the program. So what's going on in Davis County, Kentucky? A couple years ago, some local residents discovered that there were books in the children's section. These were for young children. As soon as they're able to read, you know, I guess you're considered a young adult when you're 13. At least that's according to the librarian in Davis County. But they, parents largely discovered books that were sexually charged, books that were promoting LGBT identity, some books that were very graphic, and these parents were upset. And eventually a group formed. Actually, it might have been in place even before this, but a group called Davis County Citizens for Decency, DCCD, brought this to the attention of the librarian, brought it to the attention of the library board and then the fiscal court. And not much happened. However, the librarian at the time did move those books to what was called the young adult section. So from the children's section to the young adult section. And as I said, it's age 13 is considered young adult. 13 to 18 is the young adult section. Fast forward to last year, the fiscal court judge executive, Charlie Castlin, appointed a new board member. Kathy Mattis joined the board and began to, this issue got a little more, it was in the public spotlight, if you will. And discussions began to take place at the library board during their meetings. Public came to attend the meetings. There's public comment on both sides of the issue. And you know, this issue is a microcosm of a larger debate taking place across the country, whether it's in public schools, in front of public school boards, or whether it's in the libraries or in other areas as well. How about social media? There is this discussion over free speech and appropriateness, age appropriate books and content. And then there's talk of book banning, censorship regimes, and got a lot of name calling back and forth. And what's going on in Davis County is, again, it's a picture of what's happening at the national level. Fast forward to just recently, on October the 15th, the reconfigured library board, by the way, there was another new board member, conservative-leaning board member by the name of Tim Klein, who joined the board. And I believe October the 15th was his first meeting. And that newly configured board voted to move four books, I'll tell you about them in just a moment, but four books that were controversial and sexually charged from the young adult section to the adult section. These are the books: Flamer, Queer, Sex Plus, and this book is gay. Now, these books, and these kind of books, by the way, we were once in the children's section. Then they got moved, as I said, to the young adult section. And the library board voted not to ban them, by the way, or to censor anything, but just to get them from the young adult section to the adult section. Very controversial, very provocative. And that might be putting it kindly. I've got some other thoughts on there, but I'll leave it at that. Board member Kathy Mattis, she's the one who joined last year, and she made the motion to relocate the books because she said that they were sexually explicit, not appropriate for 13 and 14, 15 year olds. And she also added that the publisher ratings on these books indicated that they were not appropriate for minors. So think of the Motion Picture Association movie ratings. You've got G and PG and R and mature. And these are a hint as to the content. These ratings are a hint to the content of what's in the movie. Well, same with the publishing houses. They give ratings for the books. Kathy Mattis said, hey, these things aren't even approved to be in the minor section, not approved for kids as young as 13 and 14. So the board in Davis County, by a 3-1 vote, voted to move the books. Tim Klein commented on a couple of the books. And Tim Klein, by the way, is a pastor. He is he's an attorney, actually ran for the state legislature years ago. And he said that he cited a passage out of the book called Sex Plus. And this passage said this, essentially it encourages sexting in the right circumstances. Stop and think about that for a minute. A book in the young adult section encouraging sexting in the right circumstances, which we know that this is the problem with our young people today. We know that there are predators asking them, young people, to send nude pictures of themselves. It's a problem. And I think people across the political spectrum agree that this is something that's wrong. It's dangerous. Young people should not be encouraged to engage in sending nude pictures of themselves through digital devices. Klein said this. He said, I defy anybody to go on the internet and find an expert who will say that it is ever a good idea to send a naked picture of yourself to anyone under any circumstances ever. I don't know how many people would disagree with that, whether you're a minor or an adult. Sexting is never a good idea. Klein also brought to the attention of the library board another book called This Book is Gay. In one line in that book, it says pornography is fine and fun. I mean, is this the message that you think our young people should be receiving? Tim Klein didn't think so. Two of his colleagues on the library board didn't think so. I would say a large number of people in Davis County didn't think so. And so this board voted to move all four of those books. Now, there's a group called On the Other Side that was very upset about moving those books. It's called the Coalition for an Inclusive Davis County, CIDC. They opposed moving any of those books from the young adult section. Some in their camp likened this to a censorship campaign, but is this really a censorship campaign? Some of the board members have been called Nazis. Some of the parents who've spoken out at the public meetings have been called various negative derogatory terms, homophobic, transphobic, trying to control others. It's gotten ugly. It's gotten tense. It's gotten ugly. And it's gotten heated. By the way, here's an assessment of the group, Coalition for an Inclusive Davis County. This is from somebody who's attended every one of the board meetings in the last year and a half. They categorize or label, broad brushstroke, those who are against these books from being in the young adult section. They said that this group, they're comprised of book burning, book banning, racist, hateful. It's a loud minority in the community trying to control what other people and their children can or cannot read. I find it interesting because, you know, part of the democratic process is that when you have an issue, both sides can come to the table and discuss and dialogue. You make your case and then you let the elected officials, or in this case, board members, make the decision. You could flip this around and say that this group, Coalition for an Inclusive Davis County, is trying to control the library board, and they're trying to impose their views of what's appropriate for children on the rest of the community. And I don't recommend that, but you could turn the tables, turn that around, and debate that.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. Have you found yourself frustrated and angry about the direction of the country? Maybe you're watching Fox News and you see what's happening in Congress or in other parts of the country. Let me encourage you to turn your frustration and energy into a positive direction. Have you considered running for local office? And listen to me for a minute. You can have a greater impact on local elections and on policy decisions if you serve in local government. School board, for example, they set curriculum decisions and tax policy. How about city council or fiscal court? These are very important elected offices where you can have a positive impact on. Consider running for local office. CPC is bringing candidate training events all across the state. And we'd love for you to join. If you've ever felt called to run or interested in running, come on and join us. You can find out more information at the Commonwealth Policy website at commonwealthpolicycenter.org. Go ahead and check it out, and we hope to see you in the fall.
So here's where I want to go for the rest of the program and spend more time on suggestions that lead to healthy public debate and public policy formation, because right now the debate has it's gotten ugly, it's gotten personal, and a lot of people, quite frankly, do not want to be in the middle of that. They have stayed at home. They might agree with one side or the other. Quite frankly, more of those who are conservative and are opposed to these books being in the young adult section are staying out of it. They agree, but they want to stay quiet. They're keeping their heads down because of the ugliness. They don't want to be canceled. They don't want to be labeled. And I would say that's true for anybody. The people on the other side don't want to be canceled or labeled or harmed in any way. So here are the suggestions to healthier public policy discussion and public policy formation. First of all, be accurate with your words. You know, calling your opponent Nazis does not make that true. It devalues what the Nazi regime stood for. Simply taking the position that sexually provocative and controversial books that are targeted towards minors and saying that that's wrong does not equate a move made by the Third Reich. It does not make you a Nazi. This group, Coalition for an Inclusive Davis County, if you look at their Facebook page, they've got all kinds of posts from, I don't know if they're members or just people chiming in on that side, but there's some ugly terminology. There's broad brush statements. I would say that if you dig enough and if you were to go to those meetings, the Davis County Library Board meetings, that you'll find that there's a lot of contempt for those who want those books out of the young adult section. Friends, when we get to a place of contempt, when we get to a place with where you're calling your opponents Nazis, that's unhealthy. And in our free society, we need to pull back on that. I don't care where you are on the political spectrum. We need to pull back and say, you know what? That devalues the term. It's not helping forward the argument. Just labeling and calling names, not helpful at all. One of the things that the group Coalition for an Inclusive Davis County posted on their Facebook page were photos from the No Kings rally. It took place at the courthouse square in Owensboro. And there's a picture there of two people, each holding a sign. One of the signs says, "Love, not hate, makes a great America." I like that. I can agree with that, by the way. Right next to that person, there's a picture of Donald Trump with a Hitler mustache. It says dictator or democracy. By the way, they have this is in red and blue colors. So I don't know if there's another message there. Look, we're just talking about Nazis and broad brush stroking. But when you liken the president of the United States to Hitler, it's not accurate. It's wrong. It doesn't forward your position, and it's not helpful. And we've got to stop this. People, leaders on both sides of the political aisle need to call this high-pitched and ugly rhetoric for what it is. It's destructive. It inflames passions. It angers people. It is not helpful. Let's stop the labeling. Let's be more accurate with our words. I think, by the way, what I said at the beginning, that this could help those on the other side. I believe that if the political left would embrace some of the principles I'm sharing right now, it would help their cause. And actually, I'm not against helping people in Kentucky if we can move to a better place, if we can work to ensure and enhance our First Amendment freedoms, if we can elevate human dignity, if we can foster healthier public policy discussion. I'm not against helping anybody across the political spectrum. It does not mean I agree with their policy positions. It does not mean that I agree with what their objectives might be if they were to get into office. What I am suggesting, though, is that there are certain things that we should rally around as Kentuckians. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, but First Amendment freedoms are definitely one of those things. We can rally against the high-pitched rhetoric and the name-calling. I think we can do that across the political spectrum without sacrificing any of our principles. So, first point again, be accurate with your words. Don't broad brush stroke your opponent. Don't call somebody a Nazi when they're not a Nazi. Second point here is be truthful. This is kind of related to the first point, right? Being accurate with your words, but being truthful. But here's where I want to drill into. When you call concerned parents and grandparents censors and book banners, when they're simply objecting to graphic or sexually charged material where minors can get a hold of, friends, that is not censorship. That's not censorship. Nobody in this entire debate is calling for removing books from the Davis County Public Library. The head of the group Davis County Citizens for Decency, Jerry Chapman, has said and posted, and I've talked to him, but he and his group have never asked for any book to be removed from the library. For the last 18 months, all they've asked for is that inappropriate books, be moved from the young adult section to the adult section where it's out of reach and out of eyesight of children. If parents wanted to check these books out and share them with their kids, or if parents wanted to educate themselves, I guess, they could have access to that, still at the library. And because it's still at the library, it's not being a censor, it's not being a book banner. You're simply upholding this idea that children are in a special category, and you don't let children are not adults. Their brains are still forming. You protect children from certain things that their minds and their bodies are not ready for. I think we can all agree on that, right? Children don't smoke. They don't drink alcohol. They aren't driving a car until at least they're 16. I guess it's 15 now in Kentucky. But there's certain things that we protect children from. Why? Because they're children. They're still forming and developing, and they need special protection. This is a principle, by the way, that we should be able to agree on across the political spectrum, right? I wish that I was speaking to a live audience, because I'd love to hear an amen or an attaboy, and I can agree with that. Maybe I'll get some feedback from this program at a later point. All right. Third point, don't speculate on the motives of your opponent. Don't speculate on what's motivating them, and don't make up things about them. This is not helpful, especially in a public context. I'm going to go back to the other group that's opposed to moving these sexually charged books to the adult section from the young adult section. The head of Coalition for an Inclusive Davis County, I'm not going to even say her name, but the head of this group, disparaged the motives of one of the newer board members who was appointed last year. And she came to the fiscal court and told the court during the public comment portion that this person that they appointed came to the board with a hidden agenda. And the local newspaper carried this and said the same thing. that this person came with a hidden agenda. I happen to know this person personally, by the way, and she was deeply hurt by it. She came to the fiscal court to defend herself and said, you know, I didn't come with an agenda. And she explained that she didn't even seek the position, but she had been sought. The fiscal court reached out to her and asked if she would serve, nominated her, and she was voted on in less than 2 days. And she was deeply hurt when she was accused publicly of having an agenda. So, friends, it does not help your cause when you speculate on motives or when you say, I know this person has an agenda or they're doing this or doing that. It hurts your cause, I would say, when you come with that suspicious mindset and you're sowing seeds into the public arena. And I would recommend against it. I strongly recommend against that kind of thing. Fourth point, do not threaten. If you do this, you lose your credibility. In fact, you know what you are when you begin to threaten other people? When you call them names, or when you say, if you do this, I'm going to do this, or if you do this, this is going to happen. You know what that makes you? That makes you a bully. And bullies in the public arena, they're disregarded. Nobody likes a bully. Nobody likes to be accused. Nobody likes to be coerced and threatened. They don't. And if you have a bully on your team, you should get rid of them because it's hurting your team. And this idea of civic engagement that we're talking about, it's important that we have people of goodwill on both sides of the political aisle. We're not bullying and they're not coercing and they're not questioning somebody's motives, but they're bringing their best arguments to the table. And they're presenting in a respectful way. And they're saying, here's my concern about this. And here's what I think will happen if you enact this policy. We need those kinds of discussions. By the way, those on the political left, the Coalition for an Inclusive Davis County, many of them are LGBTQ identified people. I've had a chance to talk with people in that community, not necessarily in Owensboro. But one of the things I discovered in sitting down and talking with some of them is that their concern is that when you take books out of the young adult section and move them there, that it's harmful to minors who identify as LGBTQ, that it is trying to, this is their language, trying to erase them. I don't agree with that, by the way. I do believe that there's certain standards and certain things are appropriate to have in our libraries in the children's and young adult section. I'm saying this and I'm making this point because it's important that conservatives understand how those in the LGBT community process what's going on. It's important that they, just for a moment, put themselves in their shoes and try to understand, why are they so adamantly opposed to having these books moved? We need to start the debate and the discussion from that perspective. By the way, I agree that those books should have been moved. In fact, I don't think that those books that are actually geared towards young people are appropriate in a healthy society. And I just put it out there. I just laid all my cards out on the table. But at the same time, I want to elevate our civil dialogue. I want to elevate respect. I want to help foster healthier communities. And by the way, healthier communities have healthy messages. They have safeguards for children. They have a healthy civil dialogue, and they will be promoting healthy ideas to the larger population. All right. At one point, it was insinuated that the democratic process is collapsing, that the political right is taking over. I don't agree with that for one moment. Both sides have shown up at library board meetings, and they voice their concerns, share their opinions. Both sides have their own social media pages where there's a lot of robust, sometimes ugly comment, but they're there and they have that platform to dialogue and debate. They've held their own meetings, they've issued their own calls to action. You know, both sides of the political spectrum benefit from First Amendment freedoms. The democratic process is not in jeopardy. We've seen it play out in mostly a good way, in Davis County. Even though there's room for improvement here. All right. Let me wind this down. We are running out of time. I gave several suggestions as to how to have improve the democratic process and public policy formation. For those Christians who are tuned in, I've got a few words of admonition from Jesus. So if you're engaging with other people and you're a believer, you've got a higher standard than what I just shared previously. There is a better way to engage others. So in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 35, Jesus says this, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. If anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others what you'd have them do unto you." Those are hard words. These are words where many of us as Christians still try to flesh out and understand how they apply to our daily lives. And as we're growing in the faith, we're practicing these things that Jesus said. And it's really hard. It's hard enough to love your neighbor. Sometimes it's hard enough to love your family member. But Jesus says here in verse 27, to love your enemies and to do good to those who hate you. And friends, if you do this in the public arena, if you're a believer, and if you can show love towards your enemies, which doesn't mean you forget your principles and you embrace what the other side is saying, it doesn't mean that you switch teams or switch sides. And when you begin to do good to them, people will take notice. Love is a much more powerful force than is hate. And when Christians step into the public arena and love even their enemies, and when they begin to do good to those on the other side, when they bless those who are cursing, when they're praying for those who are mistreating us, oh my, something amazing happens. We see things change. And this is the kind of change we need to restore some element of civility back into our public policy discussions and debates. All right, we are out of time. I want to thank you all for tuning in for this edition of the Commonwealth Matters. Thank you so much. May God bless you and enjoy your day.